It's been said the New Zealand economy is simply a housing market with bits tacked on. So is that true? What's actually going on with the housing market at the moment? Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry. Get that inside word on what's happening right now, what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. Now, whether you're a hopeful first home buyer, you own, or you're even an investor, property is a massive deal for the average New Zealander's money. And right now, the numbers aren't exactly flashing green. House prices are down year on year, and most of the national averages, and actually been pretty flat overall for the last 2.5 years. Now, of course, does depend where you sit on whether that's good news or bad news. That's up to you. But we're going to lay out exactly what is happening, what's causing it, from interest rates to construction to the myths you need to avoid. So then you can take that info to help you make the smartest money decisions that you can. So for that, I'm now joined by Sabrina Delgado, economist at KiwiBank. Give us that deep dive. What's going on and what might be coming next? Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi. Thanks so much for coming on, Sabrina. Look, let's start off with that overview. What's the sort of top line on what's going on with the housing market at the moment?
The top line on housing right now, it's just kind of laterally locked, really. And it has been for the past 2 years. So we had that massive 45% surge in prices post-COVID for then to correct 18% lower. And since then, since hitting that bottom in May 2023, house prices are just up 1.8% nationwide. So things are really just lacking momentum. As you mentioned, we have seen a bit of sideways movement that at the end of last year, you know, things were looking a little bit better. I think we had 6 consecutive months of price gains. But then over June recently, we did see another sort of dip again. I think house prices are down 0.3% year on year. So really does just show that there's a lack of momentum in the housing market.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression that's doing that little bit of a bumping along, just sort of generally there's some ups, there's some downs, and it's just sort of generally hitting that bumping along sort of stage. What are some of the big factors behind it from your point of view?
It's quite a mix of factors right now. The first one, I'd say the biggest one, is still interest rates. I'd say, you know, we have had a lot of interest rate relief, 225 basis points of rate cuts. But looking at the housing market, that just hasn't been enough to date. I think that's in part a bit of a reflection of how overcooked things were in the first place. You know, from our point of view as an economics team, we did think the Reserve Bank did too much on the way up. And we think they haven't done quite enough on the way down just yet. I think, you know, you need a bit more rate relief to really get things going in the housing market. When the Reserve Bank started cutting in August last year, house prices are up just 0.5% since then. And that's a lot of cuts, you know, that 225. So it's definitely been a much slower recovery than you would expect at an easing cycle like this. There are a couple of other things still feeding through as well. So things like your labour market. So that's definitely deteriorated since 2022 and it continues to. We've gone from unemployment sitting at about 3.2. Now it's, you know, in the low fives and continues to climb a bit higher. That job insecurity really does weigh on households and their decisions of what they do in the housing market. Another factor we could look at is the net migration at the moment. So net migration, it's still coming in positive, but it's well, well below our sort of long-term average of about 30K. So in the year to June, we had just 14,000 people net migrating into New Zealand. So that plays into the demand side of housing. Investors are still kind of out of the market. Again, another reflection of interest rates just not being quite incentive enough for them to come back. And lastly, we've seen a bit of a backlog of listings come back on in the housing market. So you've got that surge in supply there. So really, there's a lot of factors influencing the housing market right now, keeping prices kind of muted. Say interest rates are the main one, but then you've got these other factors too.
A lot of it is there's a lot of hype around the housing market as well. And you must see that, where you see these underlying factors that are influencing it. Then there's a lot of headlines, there's a lot of speculation. And I get it, because people have a lot on the line when it comes to their home, if they have any investment properties. This is big money for people. It's not a small asset. But are there any myths around what impacts house prices, and do we want to bust them right now?
A myth per se would just be, maybe all our housing affordability problems come down to an excess of demand. If you look at housing policies to try and fix the affordability problem, a lot of things weigh on the demand side. So your policies like your DTIs, your LVRs, your interest deductibility, your bright line tests, all those things, they're there to sway and incentivize what demand does there. And, you know, they have a place, of course. But it'd be great if we spent a lot more time talking about the supply of housing, and not just the supply in general, but what about the supply of affordable houses and the infrastructure that we need to be able to build these houses too? It's not just housing. You've also got to think about the water, the roads, everything, the connectivity. So I think that's really the lack there. That ends up being the fundamental issue, part of the puzzle that we always like to focus on. I think it doesn't get enough attention in the space.
All right, let's give it a little bit more attention then. Is there anything we could do to be switching that focus from? Like you say, there is a huge amount of focus put on those levers of the demand of what people will choose to do with their money. What can we do to impact the supply of housing? Is there anything you'd like to see happen in that space?
We always talk about how it would be great if we had a more built up infrastructure fund, which doesn't depend on election cycles. And it's just a constant flow of work. That's also going to help in your labor markets, creating job opportunities, if you have something that's, you know, not swaying from government to government, as sometimes things do. So definitely getting some long term projects ahead, tackle that infrastructure deficit that we have. That's going to flow through to housing as well and go from there.
Should kids earn their pocket money or just get it? Julia from our friends at KiwiBank joins us to settle the debate and shares smart ways to teach kids about money. Catch the episode from 17 July. The pocket money debate. Should kids earn it or just get it? This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi. I want to talk about, yeah, you mentioned there, not being impacted by politics. One of the big things that can feed into the politics is what's happening with things like the OCR, with inflation. And we saw the latest OCR decision was to hold interest rates steady. There is speculation that there could be one more small cut, but maybe not, because the latest inflation figures we got, they're up a little bit. So the cost of living is nudging up a little bit more. I'm sure anyone who's gone to the supermarket recently knows all about that. And so we may or may not see some things happening with the official cash rate, with interest rates. Where do you see things going on that front? And what do you think will happen with that? And does it match what you think should happen with interest rates and inflation?
We fought, and we think the Reserve Bank should have cut in July. They did hold the cash rate unchanged. And, you know, fair enough, there is this sort of spike in inflation that we're seeing right now. But I think it's important to look at what's really driving that spike in inflation. So a lot of it is, and I know this is a housing podcast, I'm about to spend just a little bit of time talking about inflation because it matters for monetary policy. So, you know, when we were coming off the peak of 7-point-something% inflation, a lot of the driving force lower was deflation in our imported goods. That's now reversing course a bit. So yes, you mentioned your food prices were up, I think, 4.2% over the quarter. You know, that it's heavy on the wallets. Part of that is global commodity prices. Things like your dairy and meat prices are all heading higher, and that's a offshore costs. But then part of it's a seasonal move as well of your fruit and veg. So we do see that kind of coming off in the next little while. Other parts that are still driving inflation are your administrative costs, so things like your council rates, your insurance costs. These are all things that largely sit outside of the Reserve Bank's control. Because if we look at the parts that are sensitive to interest rate, they are really weak. So your rents, you probably all know, they keep decelerating. Then you've got things like construction costs, which this really surprised us. Construction costs, you know, over the quarter contracted 0.1%. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, you know, just 0.1, but it's the first quarterly decline that we've seen since 2011. And then on an annual rate, construction costs are just at 0.8%, which is the lowest since the GFC. So there's definitely some underlying weakness. And it's that kind of weakness in the economy combined with all those headlines you're seeing, the housing market, right, being still quite depressed, your manufacturing, your services. All that weakness in the economy still puts downward pressure on inflation. So in the medium term, so say 12 months from now, we actually see inflation at risk of being below that 2% sweet spot for the Reserve Bank. So what does that mean? Well, we think there needs to be more rate cuts. So yes, we are foreseeing one in August. And beyond August, I think what the economy is really telling us is that we do need more interest rates, not just to 3%, but we'd actually say to a more stimulatory 2.5%.
I think a lot of people who are dealing with the cost of living now might hear you say, oh, inflation goes too low. And they're like, what do you mean? How can the cost of living be too small? How can that reduce more and that be a bad thing? Because of course, we are all struggling with day-to-day costs, right? But if we see that inflation number go down sort of too far, why is that an issue?
Well, that's quite a technical question, but I guess in short, you know, it's more the economy keeps falling apart at that stage too. If you don't have any inflation, you're also going to end up with not a lot of wage growth. And at the same time, you know, there's really becomes a lack of demand in the economy, a lack of competition. And I think from a sort of central bank's point of view, you know, central bank officials, they'll tell you what issue do they want to focus on. Would they rather have high inflation or deflation? And central bankers will always tell you that they prefer high inflation because it's actually easier to combat high inflation. You just hike interest rates until they hurt. When you have deflation, it's a much trickier problem to sort, you know?
Nice. You nailed that, by the way, for a very technical question that's thrown your way. Look, you mentioned earlier about how important the supply side of things is. Yes. And you mentioned about construction suffering. And I think that's something we really want to spend a little bit of time on because that's really important. We do need more houses coming through and also a particular type of housing. You know, we need that supply coming through. Construction does seem to be struggling right now. I feel like when I see headlines popping up about businesses in trouble, it's often construction related. So what are we seeing happening in that sector at the moment and how is that impacting the overall property market?
Yeah, I have to say we do really feel for the construction sector. And I think, you know, naturally the construction sector just mirrors the housing market. If you have a depressed housing market, you're going to have a depressed construction sector. You know, we have heard, though, that costs for materials has come off from anecdotally, but we're also seeing that in those inflation numbers as well, that pressure, price pressure is coming off and that's being passed on. And at the same time, anecdotally, we're hearing that a lot of builders, they're actually lowering their prices as well to try and be more competitive in this environment where there's, you know, really a lack of demand. They're kind of being forced to lower their prices. So, you know, that in itself might help. We're hearing a lot of clients tell us, actually, now is the time to be building because prices are coming off and your supply of tradies, builders, contractors, they're all available right now. So maybe this might be a bit of a catalyst to get things moving a little bit more. But naturally, I'd say that the construction sector will just follow the housing market. So we have, you know, been steady now in the housing market for 2 years. I think we're at the bottom and of the slump for the construction sector. And as the housing market improves, so will construction.
Okay. So whether someone's looking to buy or sell at the moment, if they're keeping an eye on the property market, is there sort of main factor that you think they should be keeping an eye on in order to let them keep taking the temperature of things?
Well, I'm an economist and economists swear by interest rates always. It kind of tells us everything about life that we need to know. So, and they are the largest driver in house prices, you know, given that we haven't really seen that this time around just yet, but we still sort of stand by that. So definitely watching what interest rates are doing. I guess more generally, beyond interest rates, maybe something to be looking at right now if you're thinking of buying or selling is the median days to sell a property, right? So that tells you how hot or cold the market is. So I believe the long-term average nationally is about 40 days. We're currently at 50 days. So anything above that 40 tells you the market's quite cold and it's a buyer's market out there. So that's a good indicator to be looking at to tell you what the kind of climate is.
Okay, so in the next year or two, what do you think might be coming? Bearing in mind, disclaimer, disclaimer, everyone's crystal ball is wonky. Where do you see those factors going in the next year or two?
So we're still hopeful for housing from here. Obviously, there are those headwinds I mentioned, the labour market, net migration, all of that. But I think as we get through these sort of towards the summer months, the housing market will perform a bit better. You know, we have had a recent wave of mortgage refixing come up in June. That was nationwide. So people are still rolling on to these lower interest rates, and that should help the housing market improve, you know, come summer period this year. But I think what will be really great is if we get the cash rate cuts that we think we need, you know, to that 2.5% rate that will really set us up for a much better year next year. So this year, you know, we're saying about hopeful for gains of about 2-3%. And then, you know, next year with those rate cuts, you know, give us some stimulus in the economy and we could see house prices back to that 5-7% mark.
Okay, well, there you go. Heard it here first. Maybe a little bit of hope for the first home buyers, at least for the next little bit. Thank you so much, Sabrina Delgado from the KiwiBank Economist team, laying it all out for us. Now, don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to Making Sense. And if this episode was helpful to you, send it to a friend as well so that they can also stay up to date on what's happening with their money. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.